All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. This is the podcast where we discuss three movies out of our top 100. These might not be the best movies, but they're movies that we like, and we're explaining why we like them. And we'll just get into it right now. So the first movie I'm going to pick is going to be The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Samuel Jackson, Long Kiss Goodnight?
Yeah.
Gina Davis?
Yes.
I would not expect that.
Oh, my Lord. Long Kiss Goodnight.
Directed by Rennie Harlan. Written by very classic director Shane Black.
Mm-hmm.
Stars Gina Davis, as James has said, and Samuel Jackson. The whole hook of this is that a woman just kind of living as a mom, she winds up having amnesia and begins getting her memories back. And it turns out that she was an assassin, just hardcore, straight up an assassin. And a lot of the movie is trying to figure out this pairing between Samuel Jackson, who is a private investigator, Gina Davis, who is first suburban mom, next hardcore killer, and trying to work through why she is in that situation. This movie is just a timeless movie. It can be watched at any point. You can still enjoy it. Samuel Jackson at one of his less appreciated roles.
It was him.
Yeah.
You feel like this was Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. Good location, good camera work, good stunts, very believable. So that is where the name Charlie Baltimore comes from. Samantha Cain, Gina Davis, and Samuel Jackson in his long line of, I need to have the stupidest name possible. His name is Mitch Hennessy.
Frank in earnest.
But again, Samuel Jackson, Gina Davis, good pairing. Gina Davis does a very good job.
And that's kind of the last good movie she was in.
Yeah, probably.
That last movie she did with her ex-husband is what killed her career. And,
Cutthroat Island. Swashbuckler Island, some shit like that.
Cutthroat Island.
And Brian Cox is in that. Mm-hmm. This very underappreciated role.
He's a very underappreciated actor.
Yeah. Yeah. He comes up and shows up every now and then. But good movie. I liked it. Next movie is actually a very classic movie by Martin Scorsese. And it stars Robert De Niro and Jodie Foster.
Oh, shit.
It's Taxi Driver.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Very, very classic. Probably on a lot of people's top 100. It is Robert De Niro, who is a Vietnam War vet. He works as a taxi driver, and he just has anger and violence issues. And he delivers one of the best performances, probably of his career. And he has a lot of them.
Yeah, that's saying a lot.
Shows in this movie why he is one of the greatest actors alive. And I mean, there's other people that are very great actors and actresses in this movie. You have Albert Brooks, Jodie Foster, you have Sybil Shepherd. I mean, there's a lot of people in this movie. Again, I liked it. It is an amazing movie. It's an amazing acting movie. If someone appreciates acting, you should
watch it. It was good acting on all parts, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was all around.
Yeah. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's one of the greatest movies. And again, is basically not really early on in Robert De Niro's career, but
I was early mid.
Yeah, because he still had Raging Bull, which I forget when that came out, but
76.
Well, 70... yeah, Taxi Driver came out in 76, but
okay,
it is something that someone should watch. And again, Robert De Niro, just his switching between lines and dialogue and emotions, it's very good. So my last movie, which is slightly more recent, and it's kind of like another buddy movie, is 2012's End of Watch, directed by one of my favorite directors and worst directors, because he also directed Suicide Squad, David Ayer. It's written by David Ayer, stars Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña. They are two police officers trying to do their own reality documentary that a lot of this is shot from body camera angles. And how they vibe together, and they kind of stumble upon a case that starts leading them down a path where they are way over top of their heads, but they continue on. And the style that this is shot in, the way that the cinematography works, the way that the acting is, it is a complete movie to me. There's a lot of emotion in it, and it kind of comes out Jake Gyllenhaal is just a very battered and bruised person. And I like the camaraderie he and Michael Pena had. And it all takes place in LA, so it's a lot of places in LA, iconic scenery that kind of plays off of maybe something like Training Day. There's a lot of that, but it's a good movie. James?
All right. Now, I'm going to go with a theme again. This one I'm going to call horrible movies aren't really that bad, in my opinion. Now, I'm going to start with one of my favorite movies. I know Barry doesn't like it. My wife doesn't like it. A lot of people don't like it. Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. Now, this movie is getting a lot of flack.
What in the world are you doing? Why are you picking that movie?
Because the movie is funny as shit.
No, it's not.
It is hilarious. That movie is funny, especially if you watch a lot of old school kung fu flicks like I used to. It is a hilarious ass movie. I can't give you the premise of it. It's just about a chosen one that has a talking face on his tongue. Now, look, I know this shit sounds crazy.
What the fuck? I know it does.
But I enjoy it. It was supposed to be a sequel, but I think it didn't come out. It did reasonably well in the movies, too. Directed by Stephen Oldenkirk, I believe. The second movie that I know I'm probably get flagged from, but hey, watch, it's a guilty pleasure. Howard the Duck.
Oh, God.
Yep. I said it. I said it. Yep. Howard the Duck.
All right. Continue.
George Lucas.
At his worst.
At his worst and best. This was his creation.
The only thing good about Howard the Duck is that he showed up in.
And yes, Howard the Duck showed up in Guardians of the Galaxy. So this movie is. It makes absolutely no sense. A duck universe, all this other shit. I do realize it is probably a bad movie in the sense of movies, but I enjoy the movie. And my last movie is a movie that has some memorable lines in it, and not many people have seen it. It is called The Room, and it's directed by Tommy Wiseau. This movie is so bad, it's good, that it is going to come out with its own movie, a documentary about the making of this movie that stars James Franco, the disaster artist.
Okay.
So it's just crazy. It doesn't make much sense. It's basically Tommy is dating a woman. She's basically cheating on him with his best friend. That's what it is. What makes this movie so unique and so amazing is that. Hold on. Sorry. I'm looking at my email. Is that the acting is so bad. It's so comical. Like, you just have to watch this movie. You just have to watch this movie. Like, when nothing's going on, just watch the movie. Just watch it. You won't probably like it, but you'll be entertained by it. I'll tell you that much. So, like I said, these movies are not the best movies overall, but they're enjoyable just for shits and giggles.
Terrible taste.
I'm going to mix it up just a bit.
You do that, Keith. You do that.
And I'm going to say, number one, one of my top three movies is Justice League Flashpoint.
Yeah.
DC animated at its finest.
Cosign.
I cannot. When you think about comic book characters and superheroes, you think about Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and you just realize Aquaman, and you kind of like.
First, hold on, Keith. Let me stop you real quick. I'm going to need you to restate that and put Batman first. And then put Superman.
This dude interrupts my damn diatribe cages for that shit. Fuck Batman, all right? Justice League, Flashpoint is a good damn movie. We think about Batman, Superman, all those other dudes. You think about, they're just like comic book characters and just cartoon. Very, I don't want to say childish, but in a sense, they are pretty goofy. I mean, Aquaman wears orange and green for fuck's sakes. So, you're not thinking these guys are badasses. You watch this movie. And you realize for an instant why these fanboys are so vehement about their love for these characters. Flashpoint takes place. The Justice League is just completed a successful adventure. The Flash, who is one of my least favorite DC comic book characters.
Agreed.
But realizes that something is missing in his life, and namely, his mother's dead. His mother's gone. He's in that situation like many comic book heroes, in that his family member has passed away through tragedy, through a violent crime, and he was unable to stop it. with his powers, he decides to go back in time. Now, the Flash being able to move faster because of the Speed Force, Flash runs so fast, he's able to go back in time. When he does go back in time, he actually changes the past by saving his mother. This inadvertently triggers a whole slew of events. Essentially, it changes the entire DC Universe timeline.
Yeah.
That one instant changes everything. Superman isn't raised in Kansas. He ends up landing in a government facility where
he becomes that bitch like he should be.
No, can you edit this clown out? Like, what the fuck? Batman is killed instead of his parents. Bruce Wayne gets shot in the face. His face down in the gutter.
So instead of Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne dying, is Bruce Wayne.
Exactly, man. Bruce
Wayne. Well, no, Martha Wayne doesn't die. Martha Wayne becomes the Joker.
Essentially, Thomas Wayne becomes Batman.
Angry Batman. Angry, violent Batman.
Right, he's a thoroughly violent and murderous Batman.
Yeah. So the Batman that shows up in the Zack Snyder movies is kind of loosely based on Thomas Wayne.
As you watch it, you get the picture is that every character has changed. The Flash is the only one who knows that something's different, realizes something horrible went wrong. Not only that, he's also found that he's lost his powers, his abilities, because he has not undergone that change. In the course of it, there's a series of events that are taking place. The Atlantean and Amazons are at war, which means Aquaman, who shows off exactly why he's considered one of the most badass DC comic book characters out there, and Wonder Woman, who hasn't changed as much, but there is the events themselves. What's interesting is that the characters themselves don't exactly change. It's just that what's happened in their lives have changed. So it's very entertaining. Animation is top-notch. Voice acting is impeccable. It's a nice, easy movie to watch. It takes about 90 minutes to get through, and it's well worth the watch and the view. Worth the purchase of a physical copy and getting the digital copy as well, because that's how good it is. Unfortunately, I think that was the last good DC animated movie that's come out in recent months.
Batman Bad Blood.
The Bad Blood series. Damian Wayne Batman movies.
Now I have to talk about that. I don't think I've seen those. That was my first one, and I'm going to continue the theme of comic book movies because I just want to get this one out of the way. And it is one that every one of you will enjoy.
Superman Returns. With.
Captain America, Winter fucking Soldier.
Okay.
Hands down, I can't think of a sequel to a movie that just did a 180 and ramped up like everything about the character in that movie series and the franchise than Captain America, Winter Soldier. The first Captain America was okay. It was decent. It showed a lot of potential. Captain America, the Winter Soldier was the potential realized. He was so damn good that the directors who directed that movie, these are the guys who did Community, for fuck's sakes, practically taking over the Marvel Cinematic Universe directing talents, at least to the point where they've gotten a lot of pull in that, and they're doing the Infinity War movies. Because Winter Soldier is loosely based off of the comic book of the same name. The Winter Soldier, it turns out, is Bucky Barnes, who did not die during the events in the first Captain America movie. Instead, was in suspended hibernation and has been altered to make him the ultimate assassin. Captain America, however, has other things to deal with. SHIELD itself is showing a much darker nature. Nick Fury and several others are running their own agenda. And Captain America seems like he's the only person who's kind of left in the position to stop it or at least help with it. Fantastic. Excellent action. Excellent acting. Completely changed the dynamic of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. In the Avengers, SHIELD was part of the good guys. In this movie, it showed a completely different side of SHIELD, and it's one of my favorite movies out there. And my last one is, I'm going to mix it up a little bit, The English Patient. Ralph Fiennes, Kristen Thomas, Willem Dafoe, and Juliette Binoche. So basically, it's about the story of a man who is brought to a World War II hospital in Northern Africa. He's been badly burned and scarred, and he's kind of telling his story to a nurse, Juliette Binoche, about what happened to him and how he got to that point. And essentially, through flashbacks, he talks about his love affair with another young woman played by Kristen Scott Thomas. It was moving enough that I wanted to watch the movie itself, and I wasn't disappointed. It was didn't hold any punches. It was dramatic, and it was infinitely believable. It wasn't overly sappy.
Even though I agree with this, I just remember that movie being super long.
It was about, it was one of the few. By today's standards, it's about right.
It was a good movie, though, but it was just long to me.
If you'd watch it today, basically it's got a who's who of actors in it. quite a bit. Colin Firth's in it. Naveed Andrews, who was in the TV series Lost. Those are my three movies.
All right, good choices, Keith. All right, go ahead, Matt.
Star Wars. I know this came out in 1977, just later on to be renamed, subtitled Episode 4, A New Hope in 1981. One, it's a pop culture phenomenon. There's all kinds of sayings that come from the movie that people still quote today. I think it was one of the cutting edge for its time, even though it was time consuming. It's a classic good versus evil, as well as a buildup of characters, which is severely lacked in today's movies. And it didn't rely as much on special effects as it does character depth. So I would say that would be my one. Any feedback from anybody?
Outstanding. Good choice. I can't disagree.
Well, you are. No, I agree.
James, like, go, son!
Another movie that I'd probably want to talk about came out in 1984 is The Neverending Story.
Oh, shit.
What?
People like that movie?
What? The Neverending Story.
Ooh, like, singing the song doesn't, like, help with that.
Atreyu! Atreyu! Come on, man.
Really? A troubled boy dives into a wondrous fantasy world through the pages of a mysterious book. Like, I was a part of the movie. I was him. It wasn't like, oh, okay, I'm just sitting there watching the movie. No, I felt like I was the main character.
So you were immersed in it.
I was, very much so. I was, you know, his ups and downs were my ups and downs. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie, and I think there was, I haven't seen it in a while, although ironically, I got it on DVD. Probably watch it this weekend.
Good choice, Matt.
So good. I mean,
fucking choice.
I like The Neverending Story.
You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Ignore him.
And then I think another movie that kind of attached to is Toy Story. It came out in 1995. I think one of the reasons why I liked it was because at the time, the animation was top-notch. It's still pretty top-notch for its time. Now, when that came out in 1995, I mean, it was amazing. It relied on a witty dialogue, as well as chemistry between the characters, or lack thereof, that built up a lot of tension. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. Very clever movie, very witty, and one that, in my opinion, will be enjoyed by the ages.
Agreed. Pixar Disney classic. That's Beast Game Podcast.